Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
You heard Al Shock talk about it in CBS News. You heard it in his newscast. You've seen it on our station's website and social media channels. Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who was convicted of murdering George Floyd, was stabbed Friday in a federal prison in Arizona. Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison confirmed that. He prosecuted Chauvin in the Floyd case. He said that, you know, Chauvin is in stable condition as of today. And here's a quote from Ellison. I'm sad to hear that Derek Chauvin was a target of violence. He was duly convicted of his crimes. And like any incarcerated individual, he should be able to serve his sentence without fear of retaliation or violence. According to the Prison Bureau on Friday, an incarcerated individual was assaulted at the Federal Corrections Institute in Tucson at approximately 2:30. Responding employees initiated life-saving measures for one incarcerated individual. This is on the report. No employees were injured during the incident. The stabbing was first reported by the Associated Press and then the New York Times. Chauvin is at the medium security prison while serving two concurrent sentences in Floyd's murder. Now, listen, I've never been to prison. I don't know anything about prison. But if you are in prison, how is it that somebody gets stabbed? How is it that this person is there? There are guards there who are supposed to be making sure that everybody is in there. They're serving their time and they're safe. How does he get stabbed? How does contraband come in? Is it built? Are they making makeshift weapons in the jailhouse? Or is somebody sneaking stuff in? You know, these are the things that I don't know about because that's not my wheelhouse. But my brother-in-law, my sister in Houston, Audrey, her husband, Anthony Scott. Right now, he owns George's Catfish Kitchen in Houston. He's a restaurant owner. He has a successful restaurant. But before that, he spent 5 years as a prison guard. And I was like, you know what? I'm not tracking down no expert. I'm going to call my brother-in-law. So he is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Anthony Scott, welcome to the Shaletta Show.
All right. How you doing, Ms. Shaletta?
Hey, brother-in-law. I thank you for taking a moment from your restaurant. I know you're so busy with customers and cooking and all the stuff that goes along with, making sure that, you know, you've got a great restaurant and taking care of the people in Houston and feeding them real good. Some of that amazing seafood that you fry up. Oh, my God. If anybody is visiting Houston, make sure you put George's Catfish Kitchen on the list. It's in Humble, Texas, right outside of Houston. You will love it. Now, we're going to back this train up, brother-in-law, because for 5 years you were a guard at a prison. Talk to me about that position.
Well, it's a correction officer. I was a correction officer for TDCJ. That's the Texas Department of Corrections. And it's everything you think it is. Inmates get sentenced, and from that courtroom, they come to us. And they are housed there for the number of years that the judge has given them, and we clothe them, feed them, and put them to bed.
And, you know, you did that job, and I remember the stress and the strain and the wear and tear on you and your mental as well as physical, because you got to make sure that everybody is safe in there. And, you know, I remember you telling me one day it's just like we're serving this time with them, because we go to work and we see the same people every day. They see us every day. It's like we're in there with them serving that time.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you've ever been to college or any type of just an everyday working job, you see those same people every day. You get to be friends with them. You talk about your life. They talk about theirs. Sometimes they talk about their crimes, you know.
And so now we are sitting here in Minneapolis, where George Floyd was murdered, and we get this news that Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who was convicted of murdering George Floyd, was stabbed on Friday in a prison. Now, yes. My first question is, do they bring the contraband in? Does somebody sneak it in? Do they make it? You know, in your years, 5 years as a prison guard for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, talk to me about this contraband and how it's making its way into the prison system. What have you seen in your experience?
Well, mostly they make it, but it's all of the above. People bring in stuff, drugs, contraband, weapons. When I was working as a correction officer, there was talk, not on my unit I was on, but somebody had brought in a gun, and that was nothing they made. An officer or these inmates have outside details, so sometimes people leave it on the side of the road or somewhere, and they'll, you know, pick it up. So there's all types of ways. And, of course, they make them as well. They take something as simple as a toothbrush and turn it into a weapon.
And that is scary. How are you, when you were a corrections officer, you know, you constantly have to not only keep other inmates safe, but also yourself as well.
Absolutely. I have been doing my time. You may not know this, but I've had an inmate pull a shank on me. That's what they called it, a prison-made knife. A shank on me, you know, while doing my rounds. I came around the corner, and I think I caught him doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and he had a shank with him, and he pulled it on me.
And what do you do? You didn't ever tell me this. Oh, my God, I'm sitting up here. My mouth is open.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I mean, I was down there for 5 years, and yeah, lost. Seen it all, done it all. So, yeah, I've had an inmate pull a shank on me. So I confronted him. I was terrified, but I didn't let him know that. Mm-hmm. And I talked him out of, told him to put that up in the softest words I can use on the radio. But
yeah,
but yeah. So it was a stare down, and I won.
Now, when you are investigating something like that, how long does it take before you can kind of get to the bottom of it? Is it going to take months? Is it going to take weeks? Will we ever know kind of, you know, is it, you know, some kind of code of silence? You know, talk to me about the process after something like that happens that you went through when, you know, a weapon was found.
Well, the normal procedures, they'll probably shut what they call lock down the unit. And all that means all the inmates will be locked in their cell. There's no movement. And then they'll go through and they'll search every single cell in there for weapons. Mm-hmm. And they'll talk to different inmates and try to find out, you know, what exactly happened and how it happened and so forth. And some inmates will talk and some won't.
Mm-hmm. So it's a process, you know, after this happens. So you're not going back to business as usual.
Oh, no. They're going to immediately lock it down. Anything, even less serious offense, maybe even a fight. But anytime there's drugs or weapons found, that's an automatic lockdown. They're going to find out because there could be more. So, yeah, this happened. But what about the rest of it? So we're going to find whatever's there, you know, at that time that we find something. We're going to open it up and do a full-scale investigation.
Well, I can't thank you enough for shining some light on what's next, shining some light on how, you know, a knife even gets into the jail, and, you know, what you as a prison correction officer, you know, kind of had to go through. I am just standing here with my mouth open. I'm so grateful to God that you did not get injured or hurt, that you were able to persuade, you know, that inmate to put that weapon up so that you could come home safely to my sister. Because Lord have mercy, I would not want to be anywhere near her if anything ever happened to you. That woman loved you more than anybody I've ever seen love anybody else in my life. So we cannot let anything happen to you.
Yes, ma'am. I agree.
All right. Well, you get back to your restaurant and tell my sister I said hello and I love her. And y'all say some catfish for me for when I come home for Christmas.
Absolutely. This was for you.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come.